Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Yes, and welcome to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Devin Starnes, joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, so good to see you. And oh, I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan. How you doing, man?
I am honestly, as we're recording this, I am still just waking up. I feel like I'm half awake right now.
Come on, let's get your caffeine going, man. Let's get some coffee.
Yeah.
Get it all up inside you.
You're energetic today for... little atypical, because I actually do have a cup of coffee, though. I'm trying Jonathan's little cup of coffee trick where you yes, we love ASMR here. You have a cup of coffee in your hands as you host. It kind of feels more like you're, you know, having a coffee chat as opposed to hosting a podcast episode. But, you know, lots and lots of fun, of course. But Kelvin, how was your weekend, man?
It was definitely a very productive weekend. I got a lot of work done, and I tell you, it was one of those days where you're like, yeah, got some work done. Took the foster kids to the beach.
Fun.
Got them sunburned. So how was your weekend, man? What did you do?
Well, my weekend was chill. I went and hung out with my dad, because as we're recording this weekend was Father's Day. So I hope any of you fathers out there had a good Father's Day, and anybody out there, if you're able to, I hope you guys were able to spend time with your pops, because Father's Day. And it was also my dad's birthday too. So if you're listening, Happy belated birthday, father. And then I also went because it was my dad's birthday, I went over to my aunt and uncle's, and my uncle made this like ridiculously good pizza. And it was kind of like a buffet style, like, you know, put whatever you want on it. You know, so I got like green peppers and double pepperoni and pizza sauce and mozzarella. It was really, really good. And he smoked them He made them on the Traeger.
Chris Peltz with
Blind Grilling Experience would be proud.
yeah,
absolutely.
Well, man, it was funny. I'm so glad he came out with a new season. Can I tell you? I've been craving.
I miss BGD.
I tell you, he's going right now. Like right now, when this comes out, he'll be finalizing his hike.
Yeah.
And I tell you, will he come out alive or not?
We don't know.
Because there are the bears on this hike. And I tell you, I can't wait to hear what his stuff is. So, Chris, shout out to you, man.
Uh-huh.
And so,
absolutely. And talking of coming out alive or not, I don't know how this would – well, we do have a special treat for you guys this week, as we are going to actually be talking about something that isn't super, like, techy, but also it is. And it's kind of something that's been near and dear to me, because I've been kind of doing stuff like this since I was a little kid. But we're going to be talking about gaming, or not computer gaming, but – like board games, card games, dice games, and what's out there for us as blind folks. But of course, before we get into that, we have our tech piece of the week. That's what we're calling it now. It's a working name. But my tech piece of the week, actually, I've had it around for, I don't know if I've actually talked about it, but I've had it around for a while, and it's this like little tiny personal rice cooker that I bought. And it's really cool, because, you know, it's not at all related to gaming, but it does make rice, and I like that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it's got a little steam basket so you can steam vegetables, and It has one switch that you use just to turn it on and off. It has a keep warm, and it was $30. So I forget the brand is, but they make like little mini personal kitchen appliances. And for a single person living in a little one bedroom, you know, it's perfect for me. But Calvin, you got a tech piece of the week?
I got something for you, and it's my daily, like, I'm going to send massive text messages to people or having to work off of my phone, but I want to type a lot of information. And I got the Logitech K, I think it's the K59 or something. So basically the way it works, it's a tiny mini keyboard, and it's not foldable. I can't get myself to type on the foldable keyboard.
Oh yeah,
because they're just enough to drive your fingers crazy. And so this one, it's a mini keyboard, and it has I have it over here somewhere. Let me just feel this out. So it has three Bluetooths on it, so you can connect it to three different devices. So a lot of times, what I'll do when I am doing like a live stream show or whatever, I'll connect my phone to it, and then I also connect it to my computer so I can switch the scenes on OBS, so that way it transitions the scenes. But I need to go back to my phone to play a sound bite or whatever, I can do that, and then kind of mix it all together for me. And so that's really nice, because it has three different Bluetooths on it. And then you also have, it's a, just a normal keyboard. There's no tin key on it. And it's about the size of a, about a book, like a good paperback book.
Not pocketable, but portable.
No, it's portable. Yeah. And so, and then the cool thing is they're typewriter round keys. So I like the round keys on it. So you can feel each little key, so that you know where you're at on the keyboard. So
absolutely. So. Yeah, I love those keyboards, especially ones where you can connect multiple devices. You have your phone connected, your computer connected, your tablet or your media streaming computer or whatever it might be. They're awesome. So yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure I know what keyboards you're talking about. In any event, let's talk a little bit about accessible games that we can play as blind folks. And let's talk first about car games, as they are honestly the most easy and common thing to find out there. So, Kelvin, have you played any card games before of any kind?
Yeah. So one of my favorite is Phase 10, you know, and Rook. I'm an old school guy. Love to play a good game of Rook. And then Phase 10. And so, obviously, like, Phase 10 comes in Braille, Rook comes in Braille. For me, the way I kind of do it is I set up my phone, and then I use Envision or CNAI or one of those that had the active text, short text read. And I just put the card right there, and then it reads it to me, and I put it in my other hand, and I just kind of get them all through there really quick. And then I just kind of read, three yellow, blue, green, or whatever. And then I put them in my hand. I know we can get that done pretty quickly while everybody's still trying to organize their cards.
That's cool.
And then I sort it out in my hands. And then I kind of just lay them flat on the table, so that way I know what number they are. And I always keep them down.
Of course.
And nobody can peek-a-poo, you know. You don't want no peek-a-boos over there, you know, on the right and the left.
You got to know when to hold them and all that. You know, I'm not, don't want to get us copyright strike or in trouble with that, but, you know, there is a song about that.
So, so Evan, what are some playing cards that you play with? And then how do you work with them?
Oh, man. So I am admittedly a lot more of an Uno guy. Uno is one of those very few games.
Uno!
Where I can have a lot of fun and also be kind of mean. to people because it's one of those games where I turn into Roofless Evan. But that's one
of
my favorites.
Those horns coming out of his head?
Yeah.
Did you see that, everybody? Those horns came out loud and proud. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And there's a tail coming out. Ooh, man. Did you see the flames?
And the spikes. You can't forget the spikes. But but Uno is awesome because it was a really easy game for me to learn. And you can actually go to stores like Target, and the company Mattel actually does make accessible Braille Uno. So you can just go and buy Braille Uno and you don't have to adapt it. I remember what we used to have to do before, you could just go and buy Braille Uno. And if you didn't want to go onto some specialty store like Braille Superstore, we would just go buy a standard set, and then I'd throw them in the Braille writer and put, B4 or K5, whatever it might be, because it was easy and the cards were paper. But there also are decks of Braille playing cards that you can go and buy off of pages like I've mentioned the Braille Superstore before, but yes, that's actually one of those sites where you can go buy decks of Braille playing cards, and you can also buy things like card shufflers, which are really nice. You basically put you split the deck of cards up into two halves and put one side in one section and another side in the other section, and it has these little rollers and it kind of automatically shuffles the cards and puts them into a little tray at the bottom, and those are really, really handy. And the other thing that I haven't seen these for a while, but I'm sure you can still buy them, and they have come with some card games before in the past, are these little card holders. They're like little round, they're these two little round discs, and you stick cards between them, and it allows you to fan all your cards out and see what you have in your hand before, that way you're not having to keep track of them or fold them in your lap and drop them on the floor and all that fun stuff.
But you risk the peekaboos.
I do risk the peekaboos. I got to make sure
people can. Those peekaboos, can ruin your whole game for you.
That's why I say, when in doubt, keep your hands under the table. We have the advantage of, especially if you're able to read Braille, if that's your primary form of consuming text, I don't know how else to word it, but do that. Don't move your cards from under the table unless you really are sure you want to play one of them. Because I've been in quite a few different situations where somebody will have their little peeper out and they'll see, because the cards, the cards that I'm playing, they're not just Braille, they're print and Braille, so anybody could just see what I'm trying to play, and I've done a horrendous job hiding those.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, I do want to mention one other favorite game of mine, and honestly, probably of a lot of other folks, is Cards Against Humanity. And Kelvin, have you played Cards Against Humanity before? Or?
No, I've never heard of this.
Oh, okay. Well, it's basically it almost reminds me of like a multiplayer, almost like Mad Libs, except a lot more humorous, but and in some cases kind of inappropriate and dirty too, I'll be honest with you. I was surprised you haven't heard of this. So because it basically what the way the game works, to keep it very simple, you get a prompt card, and then all of the players have to fill that prompt in with their own answers. And those answers could be anything from the name of a celebrity to a term. But they're pretty big cards. They're probably about the size of like a mini tablet or a large, like a plus sized iPhone. So they're not like your deck of playing cards. Okay. Now, the unfortunate part, of course, for the most part, is that they're all in print. So if you really wanted to play Cards Against Humanity, you'd need to use something like what you were using on your phone with Seeing AI and the quick text or short text.
But I haven't mastered the Braille reading yet. And that's something I really need to do. And it's one of those, I had, when I was learning Braille at deafblind school, it was one of those anger management issues I had. I was like, I can't do this. This is so frustrating. But hey, at least I know how to not go into the women's bathroom. Let's just be thankful. Right? I mean, at least I know how to read that.
Yeah, that could be really awkward. But I digress. The what I've heard about Cards Against Humanity, and I have seen these before, is that you can now actually go buy these little sleeves that go over the cards, and that finally turn the Cards Against Humanity cards into Braille cards, so we can finally play Cards Against Humanity. Because what I've had to do with family is just have somebody like whisper the cards that I have into my ear, and then I'll select one and then they'll play it for me. And it's always been a little interesting because we have to have like one extra person, and then, you know, I have to deal with somebody constantly whispering in my ear all the time, which gets really annoying because, ugh, gross. I don't know. But that's pretty much all I've got on card games though. There's loads out there, and, we ought to put this link in the show notes, but seriously, if you want to go and just check out a whole bunch of accessible tactile games, go to the Braille Superstore. Just Google, if you just Google it, you'll find it. And they've got that whole section of large print games, Braille games, and actually what we're going to be transitioning to, which is dice games. Now, have you played any dice games before?
Oh, yeah. Yahtzee is one of my favorites.
Oh, perfect. Well, how do you play Braille Yahtzee? Because this is coming from somebody that's never actually picked up a Braille game of Yahtzee before. So I have no idea what's involved.
So you have the Braille dice. And so basically, they have the normal three. They're just raised. So they're kind of synced into the dice.
Like little pips. Yeah,
the tips are. So not actually in Braille. They're just raised. Instead of synced in, the bumps are up, but it's synced into the dice. So when you roll it, it's still a clean roll.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. And then you kind of feel, oh, that's six, that's five, that's four, that's and so you just play them all, and then my foster son, he gets so annoyed. I just throw them all over the place. He's like, stop that!
You're making a mess.
And I'm like, hey, just playing hide and go seek, you know?
Find the dice. This is dice pickup, not 52-card pickup.
Exactly. No, but what's cool is it makes it so that it's pretty much you're just as fast because you got to put them all together. So you got a row, you got it. And so it's not actually, if you're good at it, like you can be just as fast as people that can see. So, because you'll get the feel of it. And so it actually kind of moves along well. I've never played craps, so like the gambling games. I've never been into that stuff. I feel like I work way too hard to lose my money. So I just stay away from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like dice game, like Yahtzee, oh, there's another game that's a dice game, but it's not accessible at the moment. Series? I think it's called the series.
Never heard of it.
And my cousin's kid, they played it when I was in Colorado, and then my foster son loves to play the game. I'm just like, I just can't. Like, there's just too much.
It's not for you. Too much stuff going on.
Yeah, because there's colors, there's numbers, there's pictures, all on this dice. And then you throw it, and then you got your board, then you got the paper on there that you got to work with. And so it's kind of like bingo, but not quite bingo. So, yeah. I don't know. I haven't quite figured it out. But yeah, so that's a dice game that's not really all that accessible. And then have you seen those dice where it has like 12 to... It has all the letters on it. So you roll it, and then you got to do the letters.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad you mentioned that, though, because, you know, traditionally when we think of, you know, a die, we think of the six-sided, you know, cube-shaped die that we're all used to. But then you've got those other dies that are like a 10-sided. There's dies that have a mini die inside of them. And they're, how are you... I'm actively right now trying to think about how you would make those accessible. It would have to be teeny tiny Braille or something. I don't know.
Well, those games, a lot of times you're playing with other people. Like, if you're playing with only blind people, then yeah, that's going to be a hard one to make accessible. But a lot of times those games, so let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because if you play games that are word games, so
Scrabble. Come on, I'm thinking
Scrabble's one of them, but they do make Braille to Scrabble.
Yes, they do.
You can get. But oh, we'll there's talk about one that game where you make a list, and so you go to so you, let's just say you get S as and then the topic is sports. So you got to get all the names
of sports that start with F.
Sports, yeah.
Of F. Okay, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, and then basically then they're scoring. So if somebody else on the, at the table got the same sport as you did, then that one is 0 points. So you want to guess sports that with an S that people wouldn't guess about. And so yeah, that's kind of how you work through that. Another one, there's another game out there where you pick a where you roll it, and then you got the letter.
Oh, you roll the die, and the die has a letter on it?
Yeah. Okay. And then it has a letter on it, and then you have a list of 1 through 10 or something, and they're the same questions. So, and so it's like animal or state or whatever, and then you just go through the questions, and then you got to figure out a letter that goes for that. And it's the same thing. If somebody gets the same state or same name that you got, then you lose. What you call it? You lose that point.
You lose so you that
gotta
point.
You got to get unique. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds fun.
It's a fun game, especially you got a group of people that you're playing, especially like the holiday games, whatever. We play a lot of that during the holidays. So,
I mean, it sounds fun, and hopefully adaptable too. Now with Braille dice too, definitely. There are quite a couple different varieties that I just really like to talk about first for those, you know, especially if you've never actually, you know, messed with a set of, let's not call them Braille dice because there's not Braille in them, but tactile dice. You know, you've got the set that Kelvin was talking about that are about the size of just a standard pair of dice. And all of the bumps are like, there's this little round indent to keep it from rolling smoothly, which is actually something I didn't know until now. That's a bit of a trivia fact. But they also have these really big, like wooden dice that are about the size of they're kind of about this maybe about the size of like a large ice cube, and
like a whiskey ice cube.
Yeah, and they're but they're about the same concept. They definitely are a lot louder when you roll them, but kind of a cool thing, especially they're a little easier, you know, if you can't feel the little pips on a side of a die as easily. I feel like that would be kind of the purpose for those. Or if you're just practicing, you know, rolling dice, and if you're just getting into dice games, I think that's probably what their use case would be. But either way, we've gone on quite a bit about the dice games. I did want to mention too another game that doesn't kind of, I don't know if it fit within like this the board or dice or card game category. I guess it'd be more of a card game, but dominoes. And you can get a set of Braille dominoes. Pretty sure it's also on Braille Superstore, but also on Amazon. I do remember seeing a set of Braille dominoes on Amazon. That was pretty cool too.
Oh, and the other thing is, if you're used to reading, like they make indented dominoes. I mean, for me, when I play dominoes, I just read the indents, and so
that's what I do.
Yeah,
I just happened. So, I got one of these for Christmas a while ago, and it was kind of nice because the case had Braille on it that said Braille dominoes on the front, and the dominoes actually had little magnets in them though. So if you're trying to like keep yours together in a row, it made it really easy. I never would have thought of that, but yeah, little baby magnets in the dominoes. I pretty much do the same thing though, because you can feel the little indents on the a standard set of dominoes.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is you go down dominoes. So what's interesting is, have you ever played Space?
No.
Like air Space Pictionary.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so basically it's Pictionary, but what you do, you draw in the sky, in the air.
What?
Yeah. Huh. And so this is a really good game if you have low vision. And you can, where somebody draws in the air, then it shows up on your phone or your tablet or your TV. So this isn't necessarily a game for like completely blind, but it's definitely like for me, when we played this game, I was able to invert the colors and blow it up really, really big onto the TV, and we could play Pictionary. And but you're drawing in the sky, so the person that's drawing the picture is drawing in the sky. So you got to remember where your lines are, and everything, or it will get mental really mapping? Crazy.
Yikes! Yeah.
And so it was a fun. It was that one. I had a blast because I could actually play the game. Because a lot of times when you have Pictionary, you're playing on a white.
I wouldn't even consider playing Pictionary, to be honest. Like, my AI Pictionary could be kind of interesting, I guess, but
yeah,
I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, so that's more of a low vision type thing. Another one is basically, what is it called? Molding Pictionary type thing. It's from Cranium. I remember playing Cranium, and they have the little putty.
You mold your picture.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be really fun, actually.
Yeah. So, but it always makes me want to go get some clay to do it, because clay is so much easier to mold than any putty or anything like that.
I don't like silly putty, but yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So
never would have thought of that.
So now, I mean, one of my favorite board games.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, is chess. And I tell you, it's one of my biggest. I love playing because it's such a strategy game, and it's such a challenge to memorize the pieces as they're moving and then memorizing my attack. And and it's so much about life is involved in chess that it just. It's just that part of my brain. It's like, oh, yeah, come on.
Well, because they've got tournaments and stuff. And you were actually looking for like an app-enabled chess board that where the pieces move around electronically almost.
Yeah. And what was interesting is as I started doing my research on this, and I found a company where you can play at your house and then play online. And then it moves the pieces around. But the challenge with this piece, with these pieces, is they're extremely light. And so they are magnetic, but they're only magnetic when they're being moved around. And so that's where, for my chessboard that I play a lot with, is magnetic. And then I know where I have the, what you call it? The square kind of tactile a little bit.
Like squares are cut out almost in a way.
Kind of, yeah. But they're just a little bit tactile. So I know when
the squares are, so you're not toppling pieces over with your finger.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is you memorize. Like, if you're good at chess, you memorize the board. And so what you're doing is you're memorizing, all right, if I'm going to make this, let's just say I'm going to push the pawn to D4, what is it called? That would be D5.
It's all four.
In the coordinate. So then that leaves that opens up your queen, your king. So then you're like, in my case, I would move my queen up into B. b5. So then my queen goes there. So I'm set up for a good attack right on top of the king ahead of me.
There you go.
Then you start moving your pieces up there.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to give you all my secrets, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always ready for my attack.
And this isn't like a how to play chess episode, but the point we want to make here is that chess, fully adaptable, fully accessible, and a lot of fun. I'd like to get into it. I don't know where you can get these anymore, but they did have a set that had it was like a two-sided board, and one side was chess and the other side was checkers, because checkers is another game that you can play accessibly. And basically, really, the key thing is just knowing what the pieces are, what their shapes are, and and where they need to go. So I know the chess set I have, and most adaptive chess sets, all of the pieces are different shapes. Some of them have like a little nail in the top. Some of them don't. And it's been, as far as checkers, it's kind of the same thing. It's been, to be honest, it's been years since I've played a game of checkers, though. So I completely just forgot everything that goes into it. But I have done it before, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, what's interesting is, and with every game, you have to be able to adapt the way you think to be able to play that game with people that can see.
That's true.
And I was going to actually go do a chess tournament and try that out. But when I got there, it was so scene-based. Like, the clock was – the timer was on the scene, like –
on the ceiling or visual, the scene, like digital.
And you weren't allowed to talk.
What?
So, So I'm like, wait. I need you to call your shot, like call your piece so I know where you went, because I can't see it. And so, but I did look at the rules, but it would, this club that I went to, it was one of those, like, they would have to really get out of their head to be able to accommodate, and I'm like, I don't know if this
like
is worth
one of those really big, advanced, like super serious kind of chess clubs.
Yeah. So, they were so serious. I walked in there, and I got ready to sit down, and I got my pieces set up and everything, and I'm like, I'm ready.
What am I getting into though?
And then I hit the timer, and didn't say anything, and so they make talking timers for chess.
Oh, that's cool. They do make Braille chess clocks too. I've seen those.
Yep. So then, so you can get all that stuff. That's all doable. It's just everything has to be called out.
Yeah, and that's okay. And I think that should be normalized anyway. And makes me wonder if there's such a thing as like a chess tournament for the blind.
I have not heard of it, but in the USA Chess, or the International USA Chess Association, they have accommodations in their rules if you meet one of the requirements. So there is some accommodation that those visually impaired do get if they want to compete.
Yes, absolutely. And one other game that I have personally played, and there are many, many out there board-wise, so we're just scratching the surface here. But I, one of the other very commonly seen accessible board games out there is actually Connect Four, because it's super fun, super competitive, and the way to tell the two pieces apart instead of colors is the one color has a hole drilled into the pieces, and another the other color is just they're solid circles. And that one's definitely pretty playable and can get pretty fun, especially if you get a lot of the family involved, you know. Have you played Connect Four before? Or?
Oh yeah, I play it all the time, and it's one of those you set it up. Like, so for me, I'm one of those sneaky guys.
Yeah.
Where if you play Connect Four, I'm going to get you on the sides, not in the center where it's so common. And then I'm going to get you going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my foster son and I are the one that play that game. And he gets so frustrated because he just never sees it coming.
That's fun. That's part of the fun. That's you gotta catch people off guard with Connect Four and kind of, you know, make them think that they're onto you and your strategy. Turns out they're not, though. And it's a really good way to get a win streak, as it were.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
but one thing that doesn't require a whole lot of strategies, depending on, well, how you look at it, though, is, of course, the sandwich of the week. I honestly don't have a very interesting pick. I've kind of been on a... I haven't actually had a lot of sandwiches as of late. I've been kind of making my own, and they're very boring. But actually, one of my favorite sandwiches that I'm going to go with is actually one that I'm craving right now. It's one I had as a child. And as a kid, I used to eat, you know, PB&J all the time. You know, it was one of my favorites. But one of the ones that I haven't had in a while is actually peanut butter and Fluffernutter. And Fluffernutter is... It's been a minute. Yeah, right? And have you tried... Have you had Fluffernutter?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man. So we might have heard it called marshmallow fluff. Maybe my...
Yeah,
I've always heard it called Fluffernutter, but I think a lot of people know it as marshmallow fluff. But it actually goes really well with peanut butter. And if you want just like a nice, sweet, little desserty kind of sandwich, that's the way to go.
Put a little extra heat on that bread to get a little crunchy.
Yeah, peanut butter, chocolate, toasted a little bit.
Chocolate in there too.
Ooh, actually, you know what?
Peanut butter smorgasbord.
I feel like that's what we're getting at. We're getting at like the seriously genetically modified s'more here or something.
The upgraded version.
Yeah, s'more, s'more. I don't like the word on steroids anymore. I feel like it's been overused. But s'more 2.0. But yeah, my pick this week, peanut butter and Fluffernutter. But Kelvin, what is your sandwich of the week?
Well, I keep going back to different directions. And
yeah, yeah, the Kelvinator.
Oh, the thing is, you got to remember, I don't eat vegetables. And so, all right. So there's a place here in San Diego. I forget the name of the restaurant, but it's like Asian spice chicken sandwich. So basically the spice is a rub that they put on the chicken, and it's not breaded, but it's a grilled chicken that has like this. You can get different levels of spice on it, and I tell you, just the medium spice is gonna make you sweat.
Yum.
But I tell you, when you put their... Have you ever had Raising Cane's?
I've heard of Raising Cane's. I haven't had Raising Cane's.
They have a special sauce that they have. And so this place had their special sauce. But when you put their special sauce with their spice chicken in their chicken sandwich, whew, you're going to go for a ride. And it's going to be a sweaty one on the way, but it's very tasty.
That sounds awesome.
So I get no lettuce and no tomatoes. But
I don't like the tomatoes.
It's great though. And it's not a cheap sandwich. I think you pay almost $18 for it.
Oh my goodness gracious.
But yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It is. And you just got to bring an extra towel to get your sweat off your forehead. It's definitely going to steam you up.
Well, that sounds absolutely delicious. And I'm going to have to try that now. It's been a minute since... I'm going to have to go to make a visit to Raisins Cane's.
Well, you're going
to
be here next month, right?
Yeah, I'll be here next month, actually. I'll be there at the end of the month, so I'll get to check it out. But actually, that's a great segue into next month. And just some little announcements before we wrap up this episode. It's coming up closer and closer every single week. The Aftersight Audio Trekkers Hike on July 27th up in the Myers Gulch Trailhead, which will be really fun and beautiful and hopefully really strenuous. And I really want to come back home with sore muscles and sunburns all over. But we are doing a wee bit of a challenge with our podcasts and registering for the hike. So effectively, you can when you go to register for the hike, you can join any of our original podcast teams. So you can join Team BLT, Team Blindsight, or actually, I don't know if there's a Team Blindsight. the blind chick navigating life with vision loss. The more, basically, we have a little incentive. You know, each time somebody joins, it adds us $5 extra, and that those $5 extra, you know, each time somebody joins, are going to continue to add up for a special incentive. But either way, register for the hike, join BLT. This competition, we want to emphasize, it's not about speed. It's really about camaraderie. This is, it's a competition for camaraderie, of course. So,
so friendly
competition.
So, yeah. So go ahead and sign up, because honestly, our team is going to be the coolest. We're going to be the most decked out, and we're going to be the most techie. And we're going to also be probably the most nerdiest.
Yeah, so if you want to come talk tech while hiking with us, this is the best way to do it.
Yep, and you want to hear me puffing and puffing, blowing the wolf, blowing the the trees down. You know, I might be quite the experience. You know,
absolutely. And any event, I'd like to thank everybody, of course, for coming back each and every single week and joining us for Blind Level Tech. Really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It totally went all over the place. But if you guys are interested in any sort of tactile gaming, accessible gaming as it is, like I said, go check out Braille Superstore and their games catalog first, because that's honestly, that's where I got started. And that's the best place to get started with accessible gaming. But we've talked pretty much a lot about, you know, card games and board games and dice games. But next week, we're going to talk about audio games and computer games. And that is a huge rabbit hole that, honestly, we could spend hours and hours going around and round and round. And we won't do that, don't worry. But it will be a very exciting episode, of course. In any event, thank you guys so much for listening. I am your host, Evan Starnes. This is Kelvin Crosby.
Plug in your device.
And we'll catch you all next week.